What do you want to play, Sam?
We're going to play Take Me Out to the Ball Game. We're all going to sing it, too.
Of Meet Me at Mutual. I'm your host, Daniel Shoptaw, C70 at the bat, at C70 on Twitter. With me, as always, Alan Medlock from the Redbird Daily and A Medlock 1 on Twitter. And if you didn't check it out, Top Cards on Twitter was on the website, on my site this week. So if you want to go see where, especially Alan ranked, I didn't really rank myself, but if you want to see where Alan ranked, find some other good Twitter follows, go check that out over at the Conclave. But that's not what we're really here to talk about. I'm just throwing my plugs in early on. We are here to talk about, well, same stuff we've been talking about, but a little bit more resolution today. We've watched this week as it felt like, one, it felt like the Giancarlo Stanton thing was interminable, but also it felt like the situation continued to spiral away from the Cardinals. You know, as the week progressed, you got a lot more talk about Stanton wanting to go to Los Angeles. And then apparently night before last, came out this report that Stanton had a list of teams he would accept a trade to, and that was L.A., the Yankees, the Cubs, and the Astros, which unsurprisingly are all, you know, playoff teams. Then, you know, like I said, it just kept more and more that it wasn't going to be in the Cardinals' favor here. And so then today, the Cardinals, it's got to be almost unprecedented. I cannot think of the Cardinals ever doing anything like this. They issued a press release this afternoon saying that they had agreed to framework with a deal on the Marlins, but they were told that Stanton would not waive his no-trade clause to come to St. Louis. He also, apparently the Giants also did the same thing soon after, as saying the same thing. So, Alan, we've come to the end of the road, not necessarily the end we would like, but, you know, after so long on this journey, it's kind of nice to have some resolution.
Yeah, without a doubt. That's how I felt. There's definitely a level of disappointment, but I'm content in the decision where I don't think there's a lot of anger on my side. You know, he fit the part of exactly what they needed. It was almost too perfect and it was almost too public. And I really like how the Cardinals handled that. I don't know if you're following on the Twitter timeline today after they were sending that. I was out working off my phone the whole time, but I was glad they sent that out. I was glad they worded it the way they did. But you're right. It kind of stinks for the most part. It's not the news that any Cardinals fan wanted to get, and it's definitely not any news that the Giants fans wanted to get. He holds all the cards, definitely driving the train, and I'm ready for whatever parallel moves they were planning. You know, that's the thing, is I think they're going to be fairly active, and I don't think this was a make or break by any stretch of the imagination. I think that they're probably disappointed because they felt like they probably did their best sales pitch, but I'm not so certain that anything would have moved him off those four teams that just happened to be, you know, four of the better records in baseball and two of the markets, well, three being Houston or being Chicago, that have the deepest pockets that can take anything on, you know. So I think that he looked at those guys as A, they're winning now, and B, they have enough money to win in the future, whether, you know, to whatever he chooses to do in 3 years. So I don't have any ill will. One thing I wanted to say, and I thought about this immediately after it came out, I was really worried about the backlash. I want guys to realize that, yeah, this is a move that fell through. This is an unprecedented move and unprecedented money that the Cardinals tried to do, and they tried to give up a part of their farm system that they felt like they could afford to give up to bring on this contract, and the money that they felt like they could afford to pay to get this done. And, you know, he's the superstar in the market right now because he hit 59 home runs, and he's a home run hitter, and home runs pay the bills. I worry about the backlash that any move right now is going to be of lesser value, and that the front office missed out, and that they lost, and they're doing again what they've done to us in the past, and that's not get these main targets, and that St. Louis isn't the fun location anymore. I don't think that's the case. I have full confidence that they're going to put a winner out there, and I think there's other things on the market. Give them a chance. Don't just immediately poo-poo the deal because it's not Stanton. That's why I'm everybody else that they can get to improve. Just because it isn't that bat in the middle, which we're all going to hope they get, just let them improve. You know, let them figure out how it's going to go. I think that this is going to be one of those off seasons that is going to really kill that narrative of them being runner up on so many occasions.
Yeah, I mean, there's been a couple of reports of the Cardinals being very active behind the scenes already with a lot of things in the poles in the water, if you will. And I do believe, honestly, would not be surprised if this whole Stanton thing, they let it play out longer than they wanted to just to try to keep the lines open for Ozuna or Yelich, which may or may not happen. But still, I mean, at least you've built up some goodwill. And, you know, again, it is frustrating because if there's not a no-trade clause, Stanton's probably a Cardinal. Because he probably, Cardinals, as at last report, had Alcantara as a big part of the package. The Marlins liked the prospects. They were going to eat, like $250 million of that contract. I mean, the Cardinals would have taken that on, at least. I mean, that's a lot. They probably would have won without a no trade clause. And so that's frustrating there. But, I think there is going to be some disappointment about whatever happens. It was going to take this anyway. It was going to take a couple of moves for this team. I mean, Stanton was going to fill a huge hole, but, there still needs to be a few pitchers here and there. We'll talk about the Cardinals, signing of a pitcher this week in a little while. But they still need a little bit of pitching, at least in the bullpen and things of that nature. Now it feels like you've got to make a couple of two or three moves just to build up to what Stanton was going to give you. Or you've got to relook at this whole thing now. There seems to be a lot of buzz about, the Rays. Maybe we'll get to that in a minute. I think you just got to be – it's difficult to be patient because I think everybody's going to be a little disappointed because if you go out and sign a guy the earlier reports that Logan Morrison, they were looking at him. If he signed a guy like that, it's like, well, that's not Stanton. Well, no, it's not Stanton. But you also got to assume that that's not the only thing they're going to do. And I expect you and I will probably try to do a show next Friday or sometime next weekend. There should be a lot of differences to the team. Mm-hmm. From now till then. And if there's not, then I think there's fair game just to complain. But right now, a lot of people are not really, they're kind of backhandedly giving the front office some credit for this Stanton thing. I think you gotta, look, they did everything they could. They did above and beyond anything that they probably would have done in any other year for any other player, and they could not do anything more. And I think that sometimes we forget that. We give them grief about Price and Hayward and Pujols, if you want to go back that far. At some degree, they earn that. But some degree, you got to realize that other player, there's two sides to an agreement. You can't force something to happen. Even if you make the best offer, it doesn't mean the player's going to take it. Could you have tried to come back on Price and given him more money? Maybe. But you don't know that that would have worked, or you don't know that, Boston, I lost my headset. Boston wouldn't have topped it anyway. Jason Hayward, there was nothing you could do for Jason Hayward. I believe that from what I've heard, you know, they've tried to do everything they could, and Jason Hayward just wasn't coming back to St. Louis. And I guess that maybe we should talk about that some, Alan, because that seems to be what people are focusing on now, and maybe for lightly so, and you kind of touched on it a minute ago, that St. Louis isn't a destination. It's not a place that people necessarily want to come play. Now, I think if you look back at the Cardinal history, maybe this idea that people want to come to St. Louis is a little overblown. They've never been big on getting some free agents that weren't there already. And the trades they made, well, the people didn't have a whole lot of choice about whether they came to St. Louis or not. So, you know, has the destination changed? I don't know. I mean, maybe it has somewhat. And I think some people want to lay that on Mike Matheny. Some of it's just a different culture. Is there a difference between the Cardinal atmosphere and the Cardinal mystique and the Cardinal attraction of now versus 2008, 2009, 2007, when Holiday could have gone somewhere and came back,
mm-hmm.
When Mark McGwire got traded and decided to stay, when Scott Rowland, decided to stay, Jim Edmonds stayed, all those kind of deals and moves, is it different now?
Well, possibly, and it maybe just due to it being so cyclical on how those things work. Hayward, Price was overpaid. You know, we know that. And that's it. Boston was not going to be underdone on that. And their checkbook's bigger. You know, it's one of those. Hayward, I think, was sold on the last great feat in sports angle. You know, that's how I've always felt about that move. I've kind of felt like it was the money may be similar. I don't know. I mean, I don't even remember at this point, but I really do think that a lot of those guys were sold on the, hey, you could be a member of the team that finally does this. I mean, you're one of the last pieces to do that. And that's, I mean, you got to give Epstein, credit for that. But, I just don't know. I mean, I would think that there could be a situation of, I don't know if this is even, somebody may blow this out of the water. I'm not sure. I could see it being a situation where St. Louis is looked at as maybe like the New England Patriots. Or, I don't want to say Alabama because kids are going to continue to go to Alabama. But to where the arrogance in the success built up that persona of, it allowed other people to build up the persona of, hey, we're not as stiff here. We have fun here. We allow you to be yourself here. I think a lot of those things, and I hope I even made a pretty decent point about that. I was kind of all over the map, but I could see where players would think that at this point, but I don't know if it's fair that this team suffers due to the past mistakes or the past arrogances or how that works. You know, I don't know. I think there's maybe some credence to it though.
Yeah, I mean, reputation tends to lag a little bit, I think, a lot of times. You know, it's, you know, you've got a reputation that papers over some things, until it you know, comes through, then you cycle down and you can be on your way up before your reputation catches up with you. So, there's some of that. I don't know. I mean, you look at, obviously St. Louis has, you know, never been a destination like L.A. or New York or Chicago or anything like that, but, you know, we're still able to retain, and I think that's the big thing. They've been able to retain people. They've never been able to really go out and get big free agents. Dexter Fowler last year may have been the biggest one, and they probably overpaid to get him. Other than that, I don't know, just off the top of my head, trying to think of decent-sized free agents that have come in that didn't play for the Cardinals first. And
sure.
Isringhausen, what, 2002 or something? I mean,
yeah.
You know, because, you know, the big ones you think of, you think of Edmonds, you think of Rowland, you think of McGwire, you think of Holiday. All of them were acquired by a trade and then sold on the St. Louis experience while they were there. So, you know, and maybe Stanton could have been that way. If he had, you know, waived it, come to play in St. Louis for a couple of years, maybe he would have fell in love with it, and maybe they would have kept him a lot longer. I don't know. Obviously, we're never going to know, and that's fine. I don't know. I'm still, I guess I'm not, like, kind of like you, I'm not really sold that St. Louis is all that different than it used to be. You know, obviously there's been some high-profile things off the field in St. Louis over the last few years, and maybe that factors into some of this. I don't know. I mean, it could. Maybe, you know, I know there was some talk at one time of Jason Hayward being afraid for, you know, for his family in St. Louis, which, I mean, moving to Chicago doesn't necessarily, you know, work out there in that regard sometimes. But but still, I mean, that may be – I've never heard a player actually say that necessarily, but – it could be, but I don't know. I just feel like we sometimes overblow what St. Louis used, that glorious time St. Louis used to be. I mean, you know, look, you traded for players, you got them to stay, and, you know, and you had a guy like Pujols that was able to be that rock that attracted people as well. I mean, hey, if you want to go play with Albert Pujols, that helps. It's kind of like, you know, Anaheim today got Ohtani. And in part, I think he's not, you know, he said he had a bond with the Angels, but it's got to be in part to play with Mike Trout, you know, to play with the best players. The Cardinals don't have that right now. I mean, the Cardinals don't have much in the way of attraction, now that they haven't been in the playoffs in 2 years. I mean, there for a while there, you could sell on somebody on the fact that you're in the playoffs all the time. And now you have to ask, are they that team? And I think that's what some of these players are doing. Now, again, all it takes is a couple of, you know, one or two good players coming in, and this team becomes a juggernaut again, and maybe we're not talking about all this. But I don't know that it's an indictment of St. Louis when Stanton didn't want to come, especially when he did the same thing to San Francisco, which, you know, if you're talking about just cities, and granted, I've never been to San Francisco. I'm not a big city guy. But, you know, if you're talking about reputation, San Francisco's reputation is much better than St. Louis's as a, you know, destination city. Stanton wasn't going there either. So, I don't know. I guess I'm just, what I'm trying to say is I think I don't want to put a whole lot on what we're seeing here as a, sure. I think there's individual situations. So we do know, I guess, you know, again, we have to shift, you know, to plan B and not. The front office has been working on plans B through G, I'm sure, over the last few weeks. I mean, they have not limited this. This is not start from scratch somewhere. We've heard the names Yelich. We've heard the names Osuna. Josh Donaldson's name has been up before, although I haven't heard it that much in the last few weeks. Then there's a lot of talk about the Rays, you know, with Colom as the closer. To talk about Longoria being in that deal, and you know, maybe even Chris Archer. If they could put a package of all three of those guys, that would be, that might be enough to get people to forget about Stanton for a while. What do you think? Where are they looking? What are they going to do?
I think anything is on the table. I think they're going to turn over just about every stone of anybody that could be remotely available. That was one, the Tampa deal. To fill all three holes at once would be pretty interesting. And I know that's going to be Longoria's 32. I mean, I get it. And that's going to be the first thing that's come to mind. But considering that you have to make a trade just out of, sheer numbers in the outfield and what you have in the system, you could probably pull that trade off and go sign someone. You know, that's what's interesting about this. And I mean, I've heard some rumblings that they're looking at maybe 4 to 5 players. That could be pretty interesting. I like all those ideas. At first, I'll be honest, I really like Yelich, but I thought it was kind of a redundancy in the lineup, but I would be pretty elated if they got Yelich right now. I made a comment probably, I don't know, in one of the first couple of weeks in the offseason about the Stanton deal. I was like, Stanton is the perfect fit. But in 3 years, everybody may regret not getting Yelich. And I'm wondering how true that is. Just looking through his numbers. And yeah, I know he's never hit more than 21 home runs throughout his career, even his minor leagues. But you can put down 30 doubles in ink. And at 26, 30 of those doubles could turn into 25, 30 home runs pretty easy as well. So I do think that he's on the upswing. That, you probably wouldn't hear me complain much about that. If you could pull that deal off and a huge deal with Tampa Bay, well, you would probably have to do some kind of convincing to where, yes, you're going to have to give up probably quite a bit, maybe a young arm, a good one, to get, well, you're obviously going to on any of these deals, but to get Archer. But I think that you could probably take money from Archer and Longoria and may not have to give the prospects that a lot of people think that you're going to have to give. They're trying to fund a new ballpark and all kinds of stuff down there. So it may not be as drastic if you could take a lot of the money. Then Yelich is one of those where I'm convinced that they're trying to get every bit of money off the books in Miami, to where I used to think he was pretty safe to stay. I think there's enough goodwill from the Cardinals now that I think that they could probably pull something off on that. The low-hanging fruit at this point is probably Ozuna. You know, that's a deal you can make in 2 years. You know, I'd like to see what return you'd have to give for that. Would be pretty interesting. The name, the one that I kind of fantasy trade, which I'll say this one more time that'll make you happy. I'm wondering about Machado. And I'm wondering, because there's a lot of smoke right now about them really in a search for pitching from the top down in Baltimore, to where that would be something of interest to St. Louis. I'm not a big fan of getting these guys for 1 year and letting them walk, but I'm not so certain now with the money that they were offering to Stanton that you probably couldn't offer Machado $35 million a year next year. You know, it's one of those to where my mind has kind of been blown by what they were offering in money. If there's any, I think there's enough reports out there to show that they were willing to play and play a lot in that $295 million. Tells me they've got a little bit of money to spend. Then you get the approval on phase two of Ballpark Village this week. So I think that they're going to open up the checkbook a little bit more than we're used to, which makes me think that one of the 1 year guys may make a little bit more sense. And then on my last thought about where they can go, I'm not, and if I was to put percentages on all this, I would probably put a 75% chance on, yeah, they're working on a deal and they're working on something that's going to surprise everyone and that they have something up their sleeve. So, you know, that's kind of how I feel. I think this could go a bunch of different directions. I'm completely convinced that they are going to play a lot and they are going to be successful in the offseason.
Yeah, I think so. I'm looking at the, I'll kind of take these in order a little bit. Yelich is owed $7 million next year, 9.75 the year after, and 12.5 after that, and he keeps escalating. That being said, Yelich is just about to turn 26, and it seems like the guy, he might be a little bit more expensive than Ozuna, but he still feels like that guy you want to build around. I mean, depending on what you think of Ozuna, who had a great year last year in his 26 season, and I think we talked about it at some point in time. I can't remember if we talked about it on the show or not, but, you know, it was a career year by quite a bit. And so if you think he's going to continue that level, and at 26, maybe that's a reasonable thing, then he could be a huge bargain. But if that's a career year and he's going to go back to what he was doing, which was about, you know, 260 with, you know, maybe 20 homers, you know, 270 and 25 homers even, it's a good player, but is it significantly different than what you have? And I think you argue that. So, but, you know, you're right. He only making, he made 3.5 last year. He's arbitration eligible, so he'll probably make $5 million this year. I don't know. I mean, if you're saving every penny, maybe you do go trade Yelich. I think they would probably rather trade Ozuna, and I think that, and I don't know where that ranks in the Cardinals' point of view. You know, obviously, I'm a huge Machado fan, would love to see them go out and get him, sign him, and say, look, we know you want to be a free agent next year, but we're going to offer you this, like, richest contract ever type money, if you'll take it now. You know, it'd be interesting. I don't remember if it's his agent, Boris. Let's see real quick. His agent is not showing up here because that would be too easy.
It's Lozano.
Lozano, who yeah. was, as we all remember, I yep. think, Albert Pujols' agent. But
the interesting thing about Machado and Donaldson is they both have Lozano.
Yeah.
So,
you know, I don't think, honestly, I don't think Baltimore's going to trade Machado right now. And that is a huge gamble. And I don't know if that's a card. I mean, because you might not, he might say, no, look, I'm going to take a free agency. And then you might have given up guys like Flaherty and Weaver and who knows, even Alex Reyes for a guy like that. And do you do all that for a 1-year deal? I mean, the Orioles got burned on that. Well, actually, they didn't get burned on it. They did that a few years ago when they traded Eric Bedard off to the Mariners and got Adam Jones and a couple of other players, I think, that turned out to be pretty good. And Bedard never was anything, obviously, in Seattle. You know, it's a dangerous game to play. I think you'd have to have some assurance or some reasonable assurance that he'd be open to hearing those kind of talks. But you'd have to go big, and then that, you know, and then that's the gamble. You know, do you pay him before he makes the market? Do you pay him $30 million a year only to find out Bryce Harper doesn't get as much as he thinks he's going to get in the market? You know, you wind up overpaying Machado. But, you know, again, I don't think they'll go that way, although they are doing some things that surprise us. It just kind of feels like, you know, like we said, they spent a lot of time with Miami, and that wasn't just, they knew Stanton was a long shot, but they kept staying with it, one, because they really wanted Stanton, but two, I think, to keep the lines open for one of these other guys. So if I was to put percentages on it, I'd say one of those guys is probably a 75% chance. And I don't know, like I said, I don't know that those guys are super exciting, and I don't know that that helps a lot. And you'd have to have a lot more moves. And I mean, if you put one of those guys with some stuff from Tampa Bay, then maybe, you know, maybe you got, maybe something, you got something going. It's just difficult to, you know, to replace that buzz that Stanton would have brought. And I don't say that you can't, but I think, I mean, because it would have been difficult. There's nobody else out there besides Machado, besides Bryce Harper, besides, well, that's probably about it, that could replace a buzz from Stanton. Everybody yeah. else is going to feel like a downgrade from getting somebody like that.
Yeah, it's that was my biggest concern about not being able to snag Stanton is it's the drop off may be a little severe, but the goal is to put a winner on the field. You know, I mean, they may have. We understand where they're coming from with the bat. They need the big bat. That's what they're looking for. They're looking for that transformative guy. They may have sold that maybe a little too hard because now anything is going to be a disappointment, you know, like we talked about. I mean, you can't get 60 home runs, you know, out of everybody, but 35 is good. So I think there's a bunch of different angles to go. My question to ask everybody and you, are we getting a smoke screen about JD Martinez, or is it something that's truly off their radar?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, obviously, things are different than they were even 24 hours ago, and so that. But
the reason I ask, and I know you'll completely agree with me on this, they work in secrecy so much that it wouldn't surprise me that they had been working on that the whole time. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? As their fallback plan, knowing that it's going to be a slow play anyway because it's Boris. So I don't know. That's just, and I don't know one way or the other. I would lean toward they probably aren't because he's going to be more of the DH type. I think that they would be fine with 3 or 4 years. 7, I think, is a little bit of a stretch for him. Just because of the defensive inefficiencies now, and he's probably already a DH at 29. Mm-hmm. you know, 30. So I think that that would be a problem. But I just wonder, they have never been, I think the most vocal that you've ever seen them about a player didn't really come from them, but the Fowler situation last year was almost the perfect fit. So that was, he was kind of the only center fielder on the market outside of a trade. We know what they were asking in trades because we saw what Washington gave up for Eaton. And it kind of made sense that it was Fowler. But other than that, any move they've made is really, really quiet. So that just kind of makes me wonder that we're missing something. But you're right. Those lines of communications with Miami are wide open. And I think there's been enough goodwill, and the fact that Miami was willing to get them to the face-to-face meeting in California shows that Jeter and Hill and that group likes what the Cardinals are selling. So that may, like I said, that may be the low-hanging fruit. But I still wouldn't be surprised if something comes out of thin air.
The only thing I say about Martinez, besides what you've already said, which I think is enough of a drawback, is that, you know, it's one thing to trade for an outfielder, because assuming you'd be getting at least one of those outfielders going back to the team that you're trading for, but signing a free agent outfielder right now just continues to put pressure on you to get rid of people. I mean, you're already kind of heavy on outfielders, then you go get a Martinez, and everybody knows you got to move an outfielder. I mean, and a lot of people expect the Cardinals to move one now, too, but they don't have to. I mean, their leverage would be pretty weak. I mean, you'd almost wind up giving away a Piscotty or a Grichuk or something like that, and you don't want to see them do that. So, I mean, in theory, they can make a trade first and then get Martinez, but you're right. I just don't see that being on their radar, but, you know, think it could be.
Yeah, and that, forget about
I've lost you, Alan. You there?
Hear me?
A little bit, yeah.
Hear me a little bit better now?
Somewhat, yeah. Can you move it just a smidgen, maybe?
Okay, can you hear me?
It's you're quieter, but I can hear you.
Is that any better?
Yeah, I think it's pretty good.
Terrible. Yeah, I think it'll be overpriced in what they have to do to get him, but
yeah, it's gone again.
You have me.
I have it at the moment, but it's it keeps popping and then you're gone for a while.
Man, okay. Well, shoot, I'm gonna try to stand super still.
No, I don't have you. Not at all.
You hear me at all?
Now I can hear you, but you're kind of faint. Not at all.
Yeah, well, I didn't have it on.
Okay, I'm just letting you know. I didn't hear anything.
Is that any?
See, that's pretty good. Cause it's popping, but it had good volume when I heard you.
Okay, well, what about that one?
That's pretty good.
Okay, cool. Now, I mean, it's right in front of my face again. I really haven't moved is the problem.
You have to show me. You're using a headset, is that right?
Yeah.
Huh. Oh. All right. I guess pick it up where you want to.
All right. Well, that's. I was just backing up your point of even if they were to sign him, which I think is unrealistic, but just throwing it out there that they could. They still have to make a trade just because of A, would bring in another outfielder, and two, they've got to clear up some of the clutter they have now.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty much got to be done, one way or another. So, we'll see how that works out. We've got, you know, like I said, a busy week most likely coming because, winter meetings and now they've gotten clarity. I think that was part of what this was. Is they probably came to Miami today and said, look, we got to know before the meetings. Is he going to or is he not? And when they found out they couldn't do it, then they said, okay, we got to get this done because we got stuff to do and the meetings are coming up and things have got to be done. So, the Cardinals did make a move earlier this week to shore up their rotation, signing Mike Mikolas, to a 2-year contract. Mikolas was over in Miles. I don't think I said Mike. Because I keep trying to say Mike. Because I just typed it into Baseball References, Mike. Mikolas was over in Japan for the last 2 or 3 years. He's had a little bit of major league experience, but he kind of reinvented himself over in Japan. Had some good stuff over there. He led the league in innings pitched. He's a guy that seems to have command. He gets strikes in the strike zone. He doesn't have swing and miss stuff. He's got 90 to 92 mile per hour fastball, that kind of stuff. He's going to be a pretty small pitcher. There's a lot, you know, people have made, drawn the similarities, a lot of similarities to Mike Leake, in this regard. You know, I know, Alan, you don't know much about him. I don't know much about him because he's playing in Japan, and, you know, you just have to take what people have said since he signed. But, I mean, what are your feelings on this?
I like the outside-of-the-box thinking on this. Worth giving a shot. We knew that they were thin in the rotation. I don't know if you listened to the KMOX feed with Claiborne this week that they talked about it, and Mozeliak was really defensive in the fact that he got pigeonholed so quick as a fifth starter because he feels like he can be better than that. So, that speaks highly to me. You know, I don't have any evidence or anything opposing that, but, you know, I like the move. I like what they're doing instead of paying the price on someone here.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like a low risk thing. They got him for a 2-year deal over just $15.5 million. It seems like it will fill some of those innings that we've been talking about. There's a lot of people have been pointing out there's an innings gap, because you don't know what you're getting out of Wainwright. You got to hope that Walk is healthy. Weaver's probably not going to pitch, you know, much more than 150, 160, 170 innings, maybe. Where are those innings going to come from? And or are you going to tax the bullpen quite a bit? And a guy like Mikolas, I think that's the way we're going to say it. Like the way I'm going to say it, at least. It's probably not right, but that's the way I'm going to say it. Mikolas, he looks like he's a guy that's going to be able to give you some innings. Like I said, he led the Japanese league in innings pitched, and I think in starts last year. If he's, you know, like I said, if he's healthy, which I think he's had, maybe he's already had Tommy John. I'm not sure. He was off. I think he had some injury at some point in time a couple years back while I was reading. But it seems like a guy that's going to – I kind of like what we're seeing here. I don't, you know, don't expect he's going to be a world beater or anything like that. But he's a guy that looks like he's going to settle, got a good chance of settling in the middle of a rotation and being pretty good. We'll have to wait and see how he adjusts to the league. Obviously, things are going to be different than playing against the Japanese players, but not leaps and bounds. You know, I think if it was leaps and bounds, you wouldn't see all the buzz about Ohtani. I mean, they're obviously, overall quality is better in the major leagues, but there's still some good quality players over in those Japanese leagues, and he pitched against them, and he did well. Mozeliak has said, though, they are out on starters right now. Now, that may change, especially with, you know, if they decide to go to more of a pitching and defense mindset, or if they can get an Archer or something like that. But overall, it seems like they're kind of happy with this rotation. It also seems to allow Alex Reyes to start in the bullpen. Do you think that seemed like one of their, something they needed to have happen this year, right?
Yeah, I agree. I like how they're doing it, and it is, I think they have enough faith well, I think, you know, Weaver is the one right now that you can just push into that 2 or 3, and that's just, you can concrete that down. Then you'll have your situation of, to go with, a Flaherty, who will probably start in Memphis now,
and then Reyes to figure that out. I think it gives you the flexibility to where you do have Reyes as that late inning guy all year. So yeah, I like it for that reason. I mean, it gives them a lot of flexibility, whether that's the ability to trade someone or the ability to be flexible in roles. So that I don't think it hurts at all.
Yeah, I think overall it's like you said, it's an interesting move. It is a different move, and maybe that's an indication that they're seeing some things that we don't see. Also kind of indicates to me they feel pretty confident in their evaluation of the Japanese leagues, and maybe they should be. I mean, they got Sungwon Oh over here a couple years ago, and obviously, while that didn't work out so well last year, it worked out very well the year before that. So they seem to have a good feel for that. So we'll wait and see how that really plays out. But for right now, it seems pretty solid. Anything else out of this week or that's coming up that you want to talk about before we transition into the favorite players this week?
No, I don't think so. I think that it's one of those to where we probably need to save our breath because I'm anticipating a pretty active week next week. So we can kind of go with some of our past guys and just get ready for all the movement next week.
Absolutely. All right. Well, let's just jump into it. Again, for those just joining us, we have been doing the favorite Cardinals now since episode 50. And this is episode 56, I think. So this is our seventh show to do these favorite Cardinals, which are the ones that you gave us. You ranked them. We put points totals to them. We've been working through the point totals. Last week we left off at the people that had 34 points, which was Kim Boyer and Daryl Kyle. So we're going to move on to the next group, the two guys that were tied at 37, George Hendrick and Joe Kelly. I'll let you go at it, Alan. What do you think?
I wish I knew more about Hendrick. You know, just reading the stories, I know that he could slug a little bit. I'm amazed that Joe Kelly made it on there.
Well, you know, Joe Kelly's got, you know, well, it was kind of the personality. I mean,
yeah,
he was good on Twitter. He had the standoffs and things of that nature, and pitched pretty well while he was in St. Louis. I mean, there was a pretty good, as we know, you know, to lose out Alan Craig and Joe Kelly in that deal for John Lackey was a pretty big blow to the clubhouse, but it was also a pretty big blow for fans, and you know, mainly because of Kelly, because by that time Alan Craig had kind of worn out his welcome, I think, to some degree, because he wasn't hitting anymore. But even so, and people wanted him somewhat moved for Oscar Tavares to play.
Yeah.
But you know, losing Kelly was tough on people. So yeah, I mean, again, you know, realize 37 points in the grand scheme of things is not a lot of points, but it does get you up a little bit higher than maybe you would have thought when we're working off a list like this.
Well, and it's funny. I was kind of caught off guard with it. I mean, Hendrick was a big part of a world championship team. You know, he played two World Series with him, but at first I was thinking, wait, are we talking about the same Joe Kelly? Yeah, because it caught me off guard and everything makes sense. And it's one of those to where I had friends that couldn't stand Kelly, but I was one of those guys that kind of hated to see him go, just because not only could he be in your rotation, look what he's done in Boston as a reliever. You know, he's a good arm, but it's pretty eclectic list. That's all I can say.
All right. Well, next up, with 38 points, is Tim McCarver. Obviously, people tend to not know much about, I don't want to say not know much about, but don't think much about his playing time, even though he was on some great Cardinals teams. But they think of him as the national broadcaster, and then that's, of course, the last 3 or 4 years as a broadcaster on Fox Sports Midwest. I've never had the problem with McCarver that a lot of people do. I don't know. Where are you coming out?
Yeah. Well, you know what? I haven't had any issue with him as a Cardinal announcer, which surprised me because whenever the word was out that he was going to come back and do some Cardinal games, I was kind of disappointed because I didn't think he did the best job on the national games. I think he does a really good job on the Cardinal games. Maybe a little dated, but I kind of like that. it was, I have a buddy of mine who says this, he says, there's not many people that can make Deion Sanders look like the bigger person in a situation. You know, after the water throwing incident, I've always got a kick out of that. But no, I'm kind of like you. I've never had the extreme dislike for McCarver that others have. He wasn't my favorite national broadcaster, but to be honest with you, neither was Joe Buck. He never really has been either. But it's nothing more than that. Then there's just other that I would prefer to listen to. But as a Cardinal announcer, he's fine with me. I know a lot. It's so funny that we get McCarver on this week when last week we had Hrabowski. And you know, you talk about two lightning rods in that in the broadcast.
This is true. you know, I think one thing, and it's just subconscious, just because McCarver was on the big stage with Joe Buck for so long. When you hear him on a Cardinal game, it makes it feel a little bit bigger.
Yeah.
Just because, it's just subconscious, I think, to some degree. But yeah, I think he points out, I mean, obviously he tells stuff from a different point of view, a different era. But he's still got a little bit, he's got his pulse on the game right now as well. I mean, he'll still point out things that should be happening and things like that. It's interesting.
Sure.
I was listening to Dan McLaughlin on the Cat Chats podcast recently. They pointed out something I hadn't really thought about, is that all of the broadcasters that are there that work with Danny are from a different era of Cardinal baseball. You've got McCarver from the 60s, Hrabowski from the 70s, Horton from the 80s, and then you got Jim Edmonds from the 2000s. Which was kind of interesting to think about. You know, it is, all those eras were very different eras of Cardinal baseball as well. And, you know, you got McCarver who caught Bob Gibson, and I know we hear the stories a lot, but those are stories we need to hear, I think, at times to remember some of those. Because those guys, you know, I hate to say it, some of those guys won't be with us a whole lot longer. You know, they just celebrated, what, their 50th anniversary of that team this year? So, you know, they're getting the 70s, 80s and stuff like that. And it's good to hear the stories while we can.
Exactly. And you know what McCarver does on the Cardinals broadcast that I like is sometimes he doesn't hide his disappointment.
Yeah.
In a lot of things Cardinals. And I thought that they've kind of been lacking that for the past few years. You know, it was funny. I remember a situation where D. Gordon didn't run out of ball. When St. Louis was in, when St. Louis was in Miami, probably maybe 3 years ago. And, you know, Eduardo Perez just ate him up on the broadcast. And at first thought I was like, I don't know if the Cardinals have anybody that would be willing to do that to a star. Well, I think McCarver would. And I think a lot of the guys, he has kind of worn off on some of the other guys now. To be more, not necessarily rude, but would call out shortcomings on guys when they don't give full effort. Now, I think that McCarver started that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I, of course, you know, granted, the stuff on the field has been worse the last couple of years, so there's been more stuff for them to call out. But yeah, you're probably right. I mean, that definitely has probably, played a part in that. So that is interesting. All right, we take a little bit of a skip now onto points, 46.
Wow.
46 points, a couple of guys. Again, a guy I don't know much about, Bake McBride. I know he's, back in those 60s teams that are before my time, I think, or 60s or 70s teams. Probably 70s teams. You hear about those 60s teams. I'll have to pull it up real quick. You hear about the 60s guys and, because there was so much, you know, success at that time. Yeah, he played in the 70s for the Cardinals, and I think that 70s era, for me especially, he played from 73 to 77 with the Cardinals. That 70s era for me is a time I don't know a lot about. The other guy that has 46 points is So Taguchi, who I think we all remember a little bit better, at least most of us do. So, Alan, I mean, do you know anything about Bake McBride?
I'm not just going off of his, you know, the BR page and you know, Cardinal Rookie of the Year. You know, the thing is, when I looked it up though, I do remember more of the Phillies reference of McBride. I mean, because that's, he was obviously on a World Series team with them. So no, I mean, that's the one thing I feel like one of my shortcomings on this is I wish I knew, was more knowledgeable about some of these intermediate guys. You know, not the ones that are Cardinal Hall of Famers, but the ones that are just short or were award winning here and stuff like that. And I mean, there's guys out there that broadcast and write that probably know much more about that than I do. And you know, it's kind of embarrassing to me. I wish I knew a little bit more. Taguchi, though, you talk about a fan favorite.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it was awesome.
You think back to that, the home run, especially in the 2006 playoffs. But, yeah, so it was a guy that, it's kind of interesting that we haven't seen. I assume he went back to Japan. I don't know that for a fact.
Well, isn't he an announcer in Japan?
It seems like he might be.
Okay.
That he has some ties there, but, you know, I think he came back when they honored the 2006 team. You know, I think he's always had a fan following in St. Louis. He's broadcasting. Sounds like he's broadcasting Major League Baseball games over in Japan.
That would make sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
So things like that. He also learned his English by watching films such as Finding Nemo and Monsters, Inc., if you believe Wikipedia, which is probably actually accurate. So,
yeah, that would make sense.
Yes, it would. So he was a good player. I mean, you know, no, never going to be a star, but you came up in big moments. And it's interesting to see, you know, obviously things are different now because, you know, Sung Won Oh had Eugene Koo as his translator. You wonder... You know, I think so. Obviously, like I said, so learned his own stuff, but and I don't remember them having a translator for him as much. Although I'm sure they had something. He may have just had a better command of English, but you wonder if that would be different now. So, all right, 47 points, and this is going to be fun. All right, 47 points. We have Lance Lynn and Mike Matheny. Let's tackle Lynn first. Why don't you go with that first?
Well, I love Lance Lynn. I mean, that's, if you remember about midway through the season, I was really pushing for a re-signing on that. They're not going to be willing to pay, or they're out of it now, obviously, but they wouldn't be willing to pay on what he's going to be able on the market. But I've always liked Lynn. I felt like the error in the 2012 NLCS, I think he took a lot of heat for that, which was a huge mistake, but I don't think it was as big a mistake as being shut down by, who's the lefty that shut him down? You know, big money guy that, no, the lefty,
Zito,
that, you know, being shut down Zito in the game that you had to win so you wouldn't have to go back to San Francisco. But, I'm a big Lynn guy. I mean, I like the, just like we've said in previous shows, that Lynn fits the type of pitcher that my dad loved. Big, hard-throwing guy, just a battler, you know, big Nolan Ryan fan. You know, he's not the Ryan's level, but, gonna hate to see him go, but, you know, got a lot of good memories.
Yeah, I mean, I still remember, it's one of the few research projects I did was to research what we used to call the Lynning.
Oh, yeah.
The idea that Lance Lynn tended to give up big, crooked number innings. And I dug into it, compared it to some stuff. And at the time, he really did. He did give them up a little bit more often and a little bit more frequently than anybody else in the rotation. And then he kind of didn't compare well to the sample of major league pitchers I looked at. But about the time that post came out, they really kind of stopped. And that's about the time that Lynn kind of turned into the pitcher that we've seen. The more the bulldog guy, the more the guy that, you know, battled through things. And it didn't blow up on him quite as often after that. In fact, you know, we didn't ever, you don't hear that term the last couple of years, at least not very often. And so it was kind of interesting. I'd have to look back at that, but it was one of the few research
yeah.
statistical type things I do, and you know, data compilation is perfectly fine for me. Yeah, Lynn's on the Catch App podcast now this week.
It's
a pretty good one. And it will be interesting to see where he winds up. But that, you're right, that error, I kind of forgot about it for a minute, but that error in that game, you know, throwing it and hitting the bag, I mean, if that,
uh-huh.
if that turns to double play, I do wonder if they don't get mm-hmm. that game. But, you know, it didn't happen, and you're right, they had other chances. But and it obviously hasn't left a overall stain on his career in St. Louis. So, all right, Mike Matheny.
You know, well, go ahead. My two cents on it is, the name gets brought up and everybody's going to think of the manager, but Wee was a darn good catcher.
Yeah, and I have to think, you know, Mike Matheny has a second place vote here, an eighth place vote, and then the rest of his votes are tenth and on. I got to figure that's what most of this is judging him as a catcher. Yeah, and he was. He was a good catcher. You kind of wonder, what would have happened if he hadn't opened his birthday present wrong, with Rick Ankiel being on the mound. Not that that might not have happened anyway. Reading Ankiel's book, I mean, he obviously puts no blame on Matheny. And it's a mental thing that even if it didn't pop up that day, it might have popped up some other time. And once it happened, it just wasn't gonna be fixed. But you know, having Matheny back there might have been a little bit better than Carlos Fernandez. You know, he transitioned out well for Yadier Molina. You got to appreciate what he's doing with catchers and concussions and you know the collisions at the plate and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, if you separate the two and you're looking at the player, it makes a little bit more sense. You know, if people are rating him on a managerial, he probably didn't get this high.
I thought his was easy. When you brought his name up, I was like, well, I want to separate this pretty quick because I always thought he was a great catcher and it's, no one blocked a ball softer than Matheny. He was pretty impressive. He was really fun to watch. I loved him as a catcher.
Yeah. All right. I will look at numbers 49. I thought we'd stop here. We may be able to get a few more in, though. Number 49, 2.2 guys with 49 points, John Jay and Steve Klein.
Mm.
Both fairly current, recent Cardinals. You know, John Jay still floating around. Steve Klein's been done for a little bit. What do you think?
Those are two Cardinal fan favorites.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, Jay has been more. He was underappreciated here, and I'm guilty of that. Completely guilty of that. And I think that I don't know how to say it. I think that the further he's been gone, I think the more people do appreciate what he did. I know there's a big part of the fan base that still loves Jay.
Mm-hmm. Well, we know Joe Schwartz is a big fan. Mm. So, you know, I agree. I think that, Jay had his good points. I mean, obviously he had his flaws as well, and you could argue the fact that Matheny kept running him out there when there were better outfielders at times. But when he was out there, he usually did hit. He might, you know, it was pretty empty, you know, just singles. I mean, he didn't have a lot of power, and we know what his throwing arm was like. But, yeah, I mean, there were times where he was the better player out there, and he did hit. And, you know, he played a role in the Game 6 and things like that. So, again, I don't think I'd want John Jay back on the team.
No.
Especially not as a starter. You know, if you're talking about the fourth outfielder, maybe. But he definitely did some good stuff here. Kleiner was one of those lefty reliever characters that I think happened more in past, it's kind of a throwback type of guy. Cause I don't think that, you know, that lefty kooky stereotype isn't quite as pronounced as it is anymore, but Klein fit that. I don't think anybody will ever forget when he told Tony La Russa he was number one, from the bullpen. You got any thoughts on Kleiner?
I always think about the dirty hat, but he was, yep. You know, he was also, you knew he'd be a fan favorite just because of, how much he battled. You know, I always liked Klein. It is one of those guys. All I can say, he's just one of those guys. You know, come in, pick a fight, you know, cuss somebody out they almost miss something like that now.
Yeah, definitely a different bit of a character that maybe we don't see as much now. So, all right, well, let's go ahead and move on up into the 50s then. We'll get a few more in out of this. And two guys that are 50, Tom Pagnozzi and Terry Pendleton. I know you probably got some thoughts on, especially on Pendleton, maybe on both.
Oh yeah, Pagnozzi was one of my favorite catches. Now I figured you would have a I don't know how to say it. With Pagnozzi being an Arkansas grad, yeah. I really figured you could add some stuff into this.
Yeah, I mean Pagnozzi, our Razorback, he still works and, does, I'm not sure exactly what he does, but he's up in the Northwest Arkansas area from what I understand, the last I've heard. Saw him Pagnozzi a few times this year on the Cardinal Insider Show when they're talking a little bit about that 87 team. Saw him. I do remember him being quite a defensive catcher. Obviously not much with the bat, but,
sure.
I've always enjoyed, Pagnozzi. Of course, his nephew, wasn't it? Matt, that played with the team a few years back.
Oh yeah. It's funny because he and, Matheny were very similar players.
Mm-hmm.
You know, both really good catches.
Right. Yeah, we had that run there. And in fact, Molina has broken it just a little bit because he did bring the bat. But Cardinals have had very good defensive catchers. They've just not been able to have much offensively, at least until Molina came along. You know, Pendleton is a guy I remember, you know, unfortunately I remember him. I remember him as a Cardinal, but, you know, being that I came along kind of watching stuff in 87, you know, there's only about 3 years there, and then he went over to the Braves, and I remember him just tearing it up. I do remember, I think it was 87, maybe 88, the Cardinals and somebody, and I'm not 100% sure who it was now that I think about it, played an exhibition game in Little Rock at the end of spring training. And Pendleton hit two homers in that game. I think there was a blast. I was there at that one. You kind of remember, of course, Pendleton's been a coach, I think, for the Braves for a long time. It's kind of like the Akendo to some degree. It's surprising that he hasn't gotten a managerial job.
Yeah. Makes you question why he hasn't. I mean, he's had interviews and all that stuff and ran through that system, and now his time is probably passed because you never hear his name getting brought up for anything. He was a stud. Houdini, the hot corner. You remember that?
Yeah.
He was a stud. I love that infield though. That's one of the best ever with Pendleton, Smith, Herr, and Clark. They were really good. I still to this day, I mean, you know, Minnesota was kind of the team of destiny there in 87, but man, if Pendleton was healthy, and Clark for the most part.
Yeah.
But, you know, Pendleton was my guy. You know, I think if Pendleton's healthy, I think that kind of changes things a little bit. It brings back a lot of memories to me. That was one of the favorites around where I grew up. That whole infield was just classic. And I wish he'd get a shot. I mean, you know, MVP with the Braves, really good player. Yeah, that's from one of my favorite eras ever, right there in the mid to late 80s.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting that you don't think about it. Pendleton plays all the way up to 98, you know, out there finished his career with Kansas City after spending some time in Florida and Cincinnati as well. Just Interestingly enough, only an All-Star 1 year. 1992 with the Braves. The year he was runner-up. In fact, the year he was MVP, he didn't even make the All-Star team. Of course, I think maybe Schmidt was still playing then, instead of maybe part of it. All right, 51 points, Lance Berkman.
I was just thinking about Berkman. It is either early yesterday or today, and man, it was one of those to where I kind of was linking that to maybe a little bit of JD Martinez, because if you remember, no one thought that that he would be able to play right field, you know, one of those situations, and yeah, obviously did, and was a contributor to a you know, huge contributor. He has a huge hit in Cardinals history.
Oh yeah,
you know, in you know, World Series lore. But yeah, I loved Berkman, and it was one of those to where injuries probably took a large part of his career. But his career as a Cardinal, you know, only 2 years and one productive, you know, he was injured basically the whole 2012 season. Hard to remember that he's even really on that team now. But yeah, I mean, that's, that I'll never, I mean, that hit was amazing. You know, that kept things going for the freeze homer to happen.
Oh yeah. I still to this day, you know, we've talked about the fact I didn't really watch Game 6 because I'm a terrible handling the stress of playing baseball. But after Hamilton had hit his two-run home run, and then I'd seen the Cardinals battle back to one run, I got actually to turn the game on. And I remember Berkman being up and the Rangers playing very deep outfield, playing like no doubles defense. I'm like, what are you doing? He's going to flip this, you know, a little flip, base hit over the infield to go score a run. And sure enough, that's what he did. Still to this day, I don't understand why they weren't, you know, playing in a little bit more. But you saw that in a moment that, you know, he stepped up and did well. You're right, he was hurt a lot in 12. I remember, you know, there was that, it kind of felt like it was going to work out because they were going to move him back to first base.
Yeah.
When Pujols left and then, you know, signed Beltran to play in the outfield. Then he got hurt, and of course that meant Alan Craig got to play, and we saw a lot more of that.
Mm-hmm.
I still remember, you know, he went to Texas to finish for his last year. And I remember he gave the other team, the Rangers, grief. Especially in spring training, about that World Series, you know. Washington, I think, said had something to do about, you know, we've been there or we've done this or whatever. And Berkman's like, yeah, how did that turn out or something like that? There's, sticking the needle. And that was Berkman. I think he had an interesting personality. He was, kind of laid back country guy to some degree. I know.
Yeah.
That he's come under some fire since he left for some of the positions he's taken on things, but I don't want to get into.
I agree.
To look at what he was doing as a Cardinal and
sure,
you know, guy. You know, I liked Berkman even when he was an Astro, so it was really cool to have him come join the Cardinals, and it was like I said, you're right. He made a huge impact there in game six and 11, and. I don't think it gets overlooked, but it is overshadowed a little bit because of what Freeze did.
Which it's sure, and I think that anybody would take that. You know what I mean? That kind of accomplishment. That's just professional hitter. You know, I look back and, you know, I kind of downplay the big year that he had. Mm-hmm. You know, he had a rugged season. It's pretty crazy that it kind of shows what they're missing now when you have that much depth in the lineup.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, but you know, like you said, you put a inner circle Hall of Famer in Pujols in your lineup, and everything
gets better
quite quickly.
Completely agree.
So, all right, let's look at 52 points, Joe Torre. Again, in those 70s teams that we don't talk about, we know Torre was a pretty good player. You know. Well, he won the MVP in St. Louis as well.
Yeah.
You know, and again, for most of us of my age, your age, younger than us, Joe Torre is the Yankees manager. You know, we might remember his time in St. Louis, although that was pretty unremarkable as a manager. Remember him, you know, as he is now, kind of one of the faces of MLB and in the front office of Major League Baseball and in charge of discipline, things of that nature. Went into the Cardinal Hall of Fame last year, right? The year before.
I don't know if it was last year or the year before last.
I can't remember either.
I'm having trouble bringing up his stats.
It was year before last. Last year was McCarver. Oh, well, I say last year, I mean this year. It was McCarver, Martin, and McGuire. So he probably went in. He went in 16, I'm pretty sure. One of those guys that people a little older than us probably do remember his time in St. Louis, and obviously was well liked. I think he was St. Louis. He's a St. Louis native, right? I say that. I don't think that's right now. I don't know why I said that. People are probably yelling at me like, "What are you, idiot?"
I was gonna say he's New York through and through.
When I start thinking about that, I think I think about those other. He is Brooklyn. You think about those guys of Barra and Garagiola.
Yeah.
I don't know why I even thought that. I guess just because Torrey was so embraced.
Former catcher.
Was embraced while he was in St. Louis. I guess that's part of it. But you got any thoughts on that?
No. Yeah, you summed it up for about as well as I could have, if not better. But, it's funny. I always go back to that the year managing because whatever – following Herzog, you're not going to succeed. You know, that's a thankless job on that one.
Well, and that, and that.
So, but, you know.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, I just got, you're right. That roster was such a mess anyway, that it would have been difficult, mm-hmm. As well. So.
Very true. Sure.
All right, we got three more I think we'll get to tonight. Two of these guys, in fact, one of them we just started talking about a little bit ago. Two of these guys have 54 points, Carlos Beltran and Colton Wong.
Wow. Wong, the book is yet to be written. I still think expect big things out of him, but he'll be a productive player. I love Beltran, and I love that signing, and it was just about at a perfect time. I understand that, it was on the backside of his career, but, boy, he could still hit. I remember seeing Beltran with San Antonio come through Tulsa. And you talk about just one of the better players in the field. I mean, he was young at the time. It actually would have been Wichita. I was thinking San Antonio was with LA, and Wichita was with Kansas City at the time. And he was one of those guys that just dominated the league, and he was young. I think he was 19, maybe even 18. And you just knew he was going to be a star. His time as a Cardinal, gotta love it. If he doesn't get hurt in Boston, I'm not convinced that changes anything just because I felt like you kind of ran into that, that Boston team was pretty good. And I think Ortiz just kind of, he was going to outhit anybody, you know, kind of see them to a win. One that stands out to me, not necessarily the strikeout, of Wainwright, that was kind of revenge, but do you remember how dominant he was as an Astro in that series? I was like, man, I don't know if there's a better player on the planet. I mean, he was so good.
Well, and then he did the same thing as a Met too, except for that last strikeout that we tend to remember. He was outstanding. He destroyed. I mean, it's one of the reasons that you looked at that matchup and you're like, Cardinals aren't winning this game. I mean, you really felt like they weren't because you had Beltran up with the bases loaded and two out, but he was just, almost guaranteed to get a hit.
Yeah, I was nervous that, they won the entire game. But yeah, those at bats, because if you remember, Floyd was a good player. And, Wainwright makes him look stupid. Then you have Beltran up and you're just like, this is bad news. What's funny, have you ever heard the Floyd quote? And they, doing the dugout, they were like, I don't remember how it was asked, but, even he said this about Beltran. He said, well, if Wainwright threw what he threw to me, he's not going to get a hit anyway. one of those lines, I guess that he was on that much.
Yeah, for sure.
You know what I mean? It just completely froze him.
Very true. Yeah, and that's what it took to get him. Wong, you're right. I'm fond of Wong. I like Wong. But we don't know what we're fully sure what we're going to have with Wong. We don't even know we're fully sure we're going to have Wong.
Yeah.
You know, there's no guarantee that it seems unlikely that he would get moved. But, you know, if the Cardinals brought in a first baseman, you know, and if they didn't really want to bounce Matt Carpenter around the super utility role I'm still not sure how well that would work. You know, it's possible that you'd see Wong go and Carpenter take over in second. And I don't think that's probably going to happen. But hopefully not. I think that I'd really like to see Wong get a real good shot. I mean, I think we saw that somewhat last year. He finally got a real chance to play and do so on a good basis. And we saw him, you know, a guy who didn't go to the minors. He didn't really seem to have a beanie hanging over his back. And he proved to do it very well. So,
yeah, and I would like to see his name, which I think everybody, you're right. This is, I don't think anyone's safe on the roster right now, but I am curious to see how he plays this year when he's not the focal point of some of these trade rumors. Yeah. You know, because I did think they were better with him in the lineup last year.
Yeah, I do too, and I like it. I like like what he brings. I like his glove, and you know, he may not be the superstar. He may not be this guy that really everybody thought. And I don't know if anybody thought he was going to be a superstar when he was coming up, but they did think that he could be like an all-star type. And he may never be that, but he's still going to be able to contribute to this team and help them win. And you know, if he's hitting at the bottom of the lineup the way he hit last year, that's a pretty good option to have.
Yeah.
All right, our last one for the night at 55 points is a guy that I would have thought might have gone a little higher here. I'm a little surprised he's down here, but then I think sometimes he gets forgotten, and that's Edgar Renteria.
Oh, yeah. Well, and that he's one of those that I thought he was probably one of the better players in the National League in 94. And, you know, here he does. He has the contract coming up and all that, and no one thought he would leave, especially to go to them. You know, he was my favorite Cardinal in those days, and I thought he was a legit stud. You know, ultimately comes out to, you know, what's he win? 3 World Series? You know, yeah. As his career, real good player, but, I just think that his time in St. Louis may have been a little tarnished just because of the way that he left.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing. I mean, in Renteria, I mean, he was here for, what? Let's see. Came in 99, left in 04. So
after the World Series 04, he just won Boston.
Yeah, that was the thing. And it was tough because that was like, if I remember right, I mean, the deal was basically like $1 million more a year to go to Boston. It was like, it was, and I think back then, of course, you're coming off World Series appearance. You got a team and you got an organization that's a little different than it was now. But I think the idea was, why couldn't Renteria take a little bit less money and stay with a team that, you know, was a very good team.
Yeah.
You know, instead of going and grabbing every single cent that you got. And again, that may not be a fair assessment of things, and it may not have been fair at the time either. But it felt like that. And then of course, it all went south with Boston. He was only there for a year. They traded him off to Atlanta. Let's see. Yeah. He got he won the World Series for Florida, in 97. He won a World Series in 2010 with the Giants.
I guess it had been just the two.
Yeah, because he played in the, he played in the 04 series, obviously.
Yeah, he just played in three. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, but he won those two. So, you know, he's on the Hall of Fame ballot, I think, this year. Let's see, 2011. Yeah, he's on the ballot this year. I mean, he's not going to get a whole lot of support. But he's a solid, 140 home runs. 286 batting average for his career, a couple of gold gloves, a couple of all-star appearances, about 4 or 5 all-star appearances, runner-up in rookie of the year in 96. I mean, it was a pretty solid career all the way around. I'm not saying that's a Hall of Fame career, but for a while there, he was probably one of the top shortstops. I mean, he did have the disadvantage, if you will, of playing at the time when Jeter and A-Rod and Garcia Parra were playing and taking up a lot of the looks at shortstop. It was a
yeah,
but still really was one of the better ones for a few years there.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, I thought he was a, I thought he would have been, after 2003, I thought that, yeah, man, they get him, he could be a long-term guy and really be a stud. And, you know, it just never panned out. He made that deal and then just kind of, he played on some good teams. I mean, even those Atlanta teams weren't bad that he played on. It was just, it never really materialized for him, you know, so I don't know if maybe the Cardinals got out of something or if it was, the getting out of St. Louis. I don't know. I never felt like he really reached the potential. Played in three World Series and did win two of them, so it's not bad. But that the Giants team was pretty good that he played on. Kind of came out of nowhere, and of course the Florida team was really good. But yeah, I mean I loved him as a Cardinal. Kind of wish he'd have stayed around.
Yeah, definitely. And you know he won the MVP in 2010 World Series. That's that far along to come back to it is pretty good. Oh, pretty interesting. All right, well, that'll do it for this section. We have 37 names left, so we're kind of making our way through this. Maybe somewhere along the way we'll get it all done. We'll talk about some more of these next week, but I'm glad we're finally making some. Just remember that we have the list is pinned at our Meet Me at Mutual Twitter page. If you want to find it, I usually update that file two or three days after this show, so you get the bonus for listening. But you can find the list there, and I guess that's about it, Alan. I continue to check Twitter, and so far, Giancarlo Stanton is not a Yankee.
No, but hopefully the rumors will involve them now, and since St. Louis is out of it, and then their fans can stress about it a little bit now that there's information coming out of every angle. So that's one thing that's one bonus, and now we can just kind of plan on rumors coming with every name under the sun being linked to the Cardinals. This is kind of the calm before the storm. I expect next week to be pretty hectic.
Yeah, it should be. I mean, it's it's got to be. I mean, we've talked about this so much this off season. We continue to see that think it's got to come. But you're down to winter meetings. You're down to, when we meet next week, it's the 15th of December or somewhere in that about. You're 2 weeks from the end of the year, and not much is likely to happen. Maybe a little bit there the next week, but you get close to Christmas and New Year's, things quiet down, and then you're at the beginning of January. Feels like things should be done before you turn the calendar page, or at least
I mean, look at it. We're halfway done with the off season, essentially. So it'll be here before you know it. So we have that and, think about this. Think about how, I know that it's not necessarily slowing the market, but think about Ohtani and Stanton have just dominated the headlines so much that we haven't heard about any of these of the relievers.
No.
They've just been overshadowed.
Well, and to some degree, those guys, especially Stanton, well, I guess both of them have, people tried to lock that in because, especially with Stanton, it's such a huge commitment. It impacts everything else you can do. Ohtani, not as much, because he was kind of limited on how much you were spending for him, but there was still that push to get him. But with him signing, and I got to admit, that was impressive. Guy comes in, he was what posted on December 1st. Comes in, gets you get those questionnaires, cuts it down to seven teams, and makes his decision in like a week.
I mean, yeah, dude, I thought you were I know, I thought your tweet was funny about that. If I had more time or have been somewhere where my service would have been better, I was going to say, hey, he came from overseas to get this done. Stanton's doing it from Miami and can't even get this done. Give me a break.
Yeah, I have a feeling that he probably had, a few ideas in his head before he got into all these meetings and stuff. And, it may have been, but, I, I thought he was going to Seattle or maybe San Diego. I didn't really think about L.A. Or the Angels like he did wind up with. But, you know, he did. He came in, he busted it out, and he got it done. Stanton, you know, maybe that'll happen now. There's momentum toward New York, but there's still some this idea of, you know, New York doesn't want to be wants to get under the salary cap, but it's difficult to do when you have a guy like Giancarlo Stanton on your team, along with some of those other contracts. Doesn't mean that they can't do something, but, you know. And it's interesting. I mean, do you get Stanton, does that put them out of, you know, for years people have said Bryce Harper's going to be a Yankee when he becomes a free agent. Well, you know, if you get Stanton, I mean, Yankees print money, so it probably doesn't affect that, but, you know, you're looking at huge luxury taxes if you got both those guys on your team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, does that play into anything? It probably doesn't. I think the Yankees will, you know, obviously they have tons of money, and if they want to pay the tax, they can. But, you know, that's a factor. And if not, then, you know, maybe that opens up for other teams. I don't know, but, we'll see. I mean, it would be a little bit frustrating to see the Yankees jump in and to get a deal done tonight. After all this, but, you know, cause again, like you said, we're not rooting against Stanton. We're not booing Stanton when he comes into town. You know, he has the right to do whatever he can go where he wants to go.
Sure.
It is frustrating to see that, but there is a small part that would like to say, to see him just wind up in, you know, a miserable Miami team, because Miami's going to get that payroll down, and if they trade everybody and it's Stanton and their equivalent of the Memphis Redbirds, you know, I'm not sure what their AAA team is, but
yeah,
you know, does he regret doing that? I don't know. I think it would have been just ironic a little bit to see him just not be able to move, but, you know, on the flip side of this, on that is, we keep saying, well, he might not get traded. Well, you got to remember, this isn't his maneuver. He wanted to be in Miami. He signed a contract to stay in Miami. He's not the one asking for a deal. Miami's trying to move him. So if he stays put, maybe that's perfectly happy with him. I don't know. You have to balance where you're at versus winning, I guess, right now. But, you know, it's fair to say, hey, he's happy in Miami, and that's where he wants to be. So I don't know. But it'll be interesting. Like I said, after spending 5 weeks on it, if the deal gets done tonight for a different team, it's going to be a problem.
Yeah. It'd be interesting and show that how little he did want to come to St. Louis.
Yeah, probably so. All right. Anything else? I guess that just got to keep an eye out for what's going on.
Well, and, you know, next week the big news will be that both of us have seen Star Wars.
Yes, should have.
Yeah.
I know both of us planning on just seeing it on the 15th, which means I have to stay off of Twitter and Facebook and everything else from mid-Thursday until after that on Friday. Cause,
yeah.
Normally I go to the first possible showing, but my son has a band concert, so I cannot miss that, unfortunately. So, and you'll be going as part of your birthday weekend celebration.
Yeah, that would be my gift. We would probably wait to go till Saturday if it wasn't for a family Christmas party. We have to go that afternoon. So, yeah, I'm going to get the 11 o'clock Central here in Tulsa.
Yeah. Well, so it means Alan gets to watch it before I do. He's not going to tell me anything about it, though.
Nah, not at all. Not at all.
But
never.
We'll try to get back at you. If not that night, not up to the 15th, we'll probably do it the 15th. I got a busy weekend. So we'll probably try to do it on the 15th, if not earlier. We might even, actually, technically, we might even do it on Wednesday. You know, we might have to be dealing with the breaking news. Who knows? We'll see how.
Yeah, great point.
We will definitely do a show next week after the winter meetings, at least after some hopefully active winter meetings. That will probably be our last show for 2017. You know, we'll be back at it in 18. But anyway, you got us next week. Well, if you've made it this far, why don't you go over, rate, and review us on iTunes. Appreciate those. It lets us get out there, let people see that we're doing this all the time and what it's about and if they should listen to us. So we would appreciate that. And then follow us on Twitter, read us on the sites, and just keep up with us. We appreciate you listening to us. For Alan, I'm Daniel. Good night.
Good night.
Shooter from the belt to the plate. A swing and a miss, and that's a winner! That's a winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!